AI was a hot ticket item for a lot of people, and it's fun to use the buzzword. But when it comes to practical applications, it's very universal, and that's what's wild. I've used it for personal chatting through relationship issues.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And then I've also used it almost on an hourly basis at work, writing SQL for me, writing entire applications, which has been amazing. But then also building servers, building agents that can help you as assistants. And I think that's the biggest thing is everyone's scared of it. But the idea is that I'm future positive, and I really think that agents are here to help you amplify what you're already good at.
Did you ever watch Companion?
Mm-mm.
The film Companion? You can adjust the intelligence of your AI companion.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it's not a good film, but...
most of the time for my AI, I'll tell it to bring the dry humor up, because that's just more fun to play with.
All right. It's helped you with your personal life? It's a good therapist?
Oh, absolutely. It's helped me build frameworks for what I didn't know I didn't know. So one of my favorite things is the quadrant of knowing. If you haven't heard of it, it's brilliant. So you have the things you know, the things you don't know, the things you know, and the things you don't know. The lower right quadrant is the most fun to be in. The things you don't know, AI can help you with. And so a lot of times I've been using it like trying to boil down my life philosophy into one word, or trying to figure out if I were to run with a certain idea, is it practical? The trifecta of me.
So the trifecta of Caitlin is?
From a branding or from a marketing perspective, brand, product, and creative. And just the experience of the customer. So anytime a customer is touching a brand, the look, the feel, the tone, the timing, the cadence, the persona, all of that, I love it. I eat it up, and how it relates to the product that a brand is offering. I am so passionate about this in the branding space because so few people are really committed to making sure there's art, data, and delight packed into marketing. A great example, I can give you a little tiny case study. We changed the hero image of a website. It was a beautiful hand-drawn illustration by an illustrator that we hired. And then it changed the conversion rate of the website by a significant amount. So hundreds of thousands of people boiling into that conversion through the funnel.
Because of art.
That's a lot of customers. And at the end of the day, I believe that they were more delighted. They liked that picture better because it was hand-drawn, it was human, it was from an illustrator instead of a stock image. And so I'm constantly thinking of ideas like that on just how to delight people, because I think at the end of the day, the way that you interact with brands, with coffee shops, with anywhere in, you know, anywhere that you're walking in Portland, the things that matter are the things that delight you.
There is an element of delight there.
Oh, yeah.
Not just shopping.
And imagine the business use case for twinkly lights. That is a great example of the twinkly lights that are hanging above Portland Night Market. At the end of the day, the reason why someone put it there, because it's delightful and it's wonderful for people to walk through the night market feeling like they're in a magical land. Maybe that's too positive on my side, but I believe I'm walking through a magical land.
You've got a psychology background, I noticed, mm-hmm. on your LinkedIn.
Yeah.
That comes in useful.
Oh, every day. I think that's the combination of art, data, and delight. So the data is where I know kind of how the brain works a little bit, just enough to be dangerous. And then it rolls into not only my sculptures.
How does the brain work? Runs on emotion, right?
Oh, yeah. The human, what was the quote that I just read from Rory Sutherland? The human runs on logic just as much as a horse runs on petrol. One of my favorite psychology terms. It's back near the hippocampus, and it's called the reticular activating system. And it's basically the thing that tells your brain what to pay attention to, because there's too much stimulus. And so if it's off, you're getting too much stimulus. If it's great and it's working, you're really paying attention to only specific things based on your history. It's kind of like the idea, if you have an ex with a specific kind of car, you start seeing that car everywhere. And you wouldn't have otherwise paid attention to that car. but it comes in handy for me.
I think you hit a nerve.
Yeah, sorry.
Or an apartment.
Oh, yeah.
Like if you pass by the apartment.
Right now, I kind of split between two different approaches. I mean, I'm so passionate about my sculptures, and I'm almost trying to stay hidden with that a little bit until I can get a portfolio of bronze. Because as you can imagine, bronze is a little pricey. So
I'm not even sure what the process is.
The runway to getting a portfolio of full bronze is hefty. I mean, it's a lot of steps. I think I counted up the steps to get clay into bronze, and it's around 23, if not more. And each step takes a chunk of time too. So it's almost like I have this secret that I'm teasing out right now, but I'm not there yet. And I can't wait for the day that I showcase that portfolio off.
Yeah. Yeah. What would you describe as your specialty? So you could do faces.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Bodies.
Yeah. Yeah. So I do a mixture of human form and organic, the juxtaposition of kind of industrial mixed with organic elements I love. And so the last one that I cast in bronze was a businessman that's being absorbed by nature, and the idea is entropy, and the title is unaware, like he's unaware of what's happening to him.
So you're doing this essentially, I mean, you don't have to have a buyer in mind,
you
enjoy
passion.
Doing it. It's your home.
Oh, yeah. One of the jokes that I say is I feel like if I didn't do something with my creativity, it would just ooze out onto the floor.
Do you have any other creative outlets? I'm curious. Writing, blogging, use of AI.
Yeah.
That can be creative.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean,
really help you trigger ideas.
Mm-hmm. I broke down my life recently in 9 different quadrants. I'm all about quadrants.
I'd like to hear more about that.
Yeah. Art, data, delight, and people, things, and spaces. And I realized every element of my resume kind of falls into one of those categories. So
you did a deep dive.
I know, it's crazy. But AI helped me do that.
Do you have a therapist? Or are you your own therapist?
I mean, is it AI? I think it's Claude. I think my therapist's name is Claude. I think I accidentally nerd out on data a little bit too much, and so that boils into my life too. And so I'm thinking about, you know, one perfect
That's
word.
That's how you think clearly. That's how you think outside of your own emotions, is looking at the data.
Totally.
I mean, what's the common denominator between a bunch of failed relationships? That's you, but it's hard to get out of that that mindset if you're in this emotional state. So the data.
Yeah.
I think data can really help you emotionally.
Honestly, I would hope it would for everyone too. One of the biggest things was finding that my word was delight. The one word that really fuels my marketing in the tech space, my AI passion, my sculpture, everything, even my hobbies outside of all of this. I think it's that one word of delight. I believe in no leagues. I believe in never getting stuck anymore. And I don't believe in levels. All of those things, whenever you feel a blocker, I just hope that everyone can see that AI is capable of helping you pass those blockers. And that's what it did for me. Whenever I felt stuck with something, personal, professional, sculpture-wise, I use AI as a tool to help unstick me, you know?